here we go. First podcast of 2023.
It's the NFFL Podcast, your weekly look into the Nellis Fantasy Football League, that juggernaut that's been rolling for over 20 years. Full of facts, figures, and just a bit of mocking. Okay, a lot of mocking.
Sometimes it just doesn't come through on Zoom. I don't know why, but welcome back to the NFFL podcast, back from dormancy of the off season. That
happy hibernation,
dry and barren desert that is the off season. We have dusted off the cobwebs. Welcome back. I am the man, the myth, the legend that risked it all to come in last season. It's not video this week, but as my co-host can attest, I am honoring my Pierce punishment on camera.
And he has a fireplace in the background.
Yes, I do have the fireplace going in the background, this lovely fake fireplace. You can hear my first co-host, Daniel Bender, on the mic there. Danny's going to be pulling double duty tonight. He's got a lovely draft going. Danny, how you doing?
I'm doing just fine. I have a legacy draft with the boys from McCreary.
Danny, how many leagues are you in this season?
10. So I don't want to hear anything from anybody about if you can or cannot keep up. I'm going I got cross platform as well.
And who's your most consistent player you've drafted across all of them? How many shares of which player do you have the most of?
I'm going to say Josh Allen. I've been pretty good about getting him each time.
Did you see the tattoo I shared across the ring that a Buffalo fan got?
No, I didn't.
You should check out the ring sometime. It's quite an interesting tattoo.
I don't get notifications from the ring. I just have to I check it once every couple of days just because.
You should set up notifications, especially now that the season's underway, because it's going to come fast and furious.
Y'all be digging me too much.
Well, you might have heard our other co-host tonight, this week, a man who never said no to a number with many, many, many decimals, Scotty. How you doing?
I'm good. Glad to be back on the podcast, ready for another year.
All right. Yeah. So, Scott, how many leagues are you in this year?
Just two. Just this one, and then I'm trying out a sleeper league and the sleeper app. As Josh has been trying to get everybody to join, but nobody wants to.
You know, I haven't received an invitation. I received one invitation to a sleeper league, and when I tried to respond to it, it was a dead link. So, Josh, I will accept an invite if you're still looking to find someone.
He invited the entire league, and I was the only one who had accepted.
I responded within like 2 hours, and there was if that was him that invited, I responded and there was nothing there. So, Josh, if there's any open seats left and you're still looking, I'll join, because I'm only in three this year right now. And I decided a long time ago I can do four. Well, gentlemen, welcome back to the NFFL. Tonight, we're going to take a look back, reflect on the draft and the season running up to it, make some predictions, and look at this first week and how some of these teams might fare. So let's start the season off looking at some big names on the field that we're not going to see because of some contract disputes, like Jonathan Taylor, Chris Jones, potentially Brian Burns in Carolina. And I had on this list until this afternoon the Bosa from Nick Bosa from San Francisco. I bet you're smiling pretty big there, Scott.
I am.
You know how much I'm smiling. I drafted him last night as Mr. Irrelevant.
Ah, yes. I had him on this list until I got the notification this afternoon. So that was rather interesting. Yeah.
Biggest defensive contract in history.
Yes, I saw that headline as well. I drafted Chris Jones, but yeah, he's prepared to hold out till week 8. So we'll see. We'll see how long that lasts and see if Kansas City can hold up a defensive line without him.
I saw Chuck's already got Jonathan Taylor's backup in his lineup.
let me be frank. Chuck already sent me his first bullshit trade of the year since I was really screwed up with my running backs last year and tried to send me one of Jonathan Taylor's backups this year.
You're not allowed to be frank.
I already have one of Jonathan Taylor's backups on my roster.
You're not allowed to be frank.
I will be as frank as I want.
you gotta be Shirley.
And don't call me Shirley. How about some of the other unsigned players like Leonard Fournette, Kareem Hunt, Jarvis Landry, Melvin Ingram? You guys think any of these are going to pick up, sign on with anyone? I mean, Kareem already had shots with he was practically signed with the Saints, and then he visited the Colts without a contract.
Yeah, I think he'll get sucked up.
Yeah, after a few injuries.
People would be dumb not to grab him.
I agree. And he's lost a step, but he's still more valuable than some of the retreads that a lot of the teams are trying to throw out there by week 3. Well, let's look at some of the injuries. We've got
now head, are you said you had Chris Jones?
I did. Yeah, I drafted him.
I know, but you dropped him on September 5th at 9:25 p.m., you liar.
Yes, I said I drafted him, but I also dropped him because he's planning to hold out until week 8.
My bad.
Remember, tenses are very important.
I was trying to build show suspense.
Well, we've also got some important names that are injured, like Cooper Kupp and his re-aggravated hamstring, leading a small army of injured players to start the season, including Travis Kelce and his hyperextended knee, who apparently his brother thinks he'll be playing on because he had the same injury and he was playing that week. Jerry Jeudy and his hamstring, Terry McLaurin and his turf toe, and George Kittle, and depending on who you ask, it's either an abductor strain or a groin injury. What do you guys think about some of these names?
Kittle, I just heard, was going to play.
Hmm? See, I got Kittle, so he better play.
I know Ty's got the first two on the list, so he's got to be looking at his roster.
Ty is in very, very serious danger this opening week just by the injury bug. Ty might be reaching out to a lot of people for trades. We'll see.
I destroyed you using a baby's fist as a weapon. Get it,
guys! Well, guys, let's take a look back. For you listening on the podcast, I'll throw some music in here in between for interstitials because the music doesn't play on Zoom for some reason, and it's not as much fun live. But let's take a look back at our draft because Yahoo does their lovely grading, and all they do is grade based on numerical values.
Yeah.
Yahoo doesn't take into account risk on players and who's actually going to break out. It takes a lot of the human element out of it. So what we want to do tonight is we want to take some of the, all three of us have hoisted the Phyllis at least once.
That's damn straight.
And one of us, if not for a statistic, a stat correction, would have a second name on that trophy as well, Scott. So
I want my mind by stat correction over Ty.
Oh, that's right. I'm backpedaling there. Well, anyway, between the three of us, we've got three Phyllis champions here. So, you know, at least for three seasons, we're pretty competent for at least three seasons between us. So I'd like to take a few minutes here and just kind of assess our own draft from our perspective for 2023. And among the 12 teams, going to take a look at the best draft, the worst draft, the best pick, and the worst pick from our perspective. And I'll go first because I have the most lead time in prepping this. Best draft.
I did a great what? A great gerb. Oh, man. Bub, you got to check this out.
I got two I'll nominate, and you guys can kind of tell me if you agree or not. From my perspective, based on draft position, value of picks, expected performance, pick keeper value, all that stuff thrown in. And remember, I was running the draft hunched over in pain the whole time and about ready to deck Chuck in his face. But Chuck, I love you. I would say, coming away from the draft, that E-Town Asian and San Diego 8 probably had the two most solid drafts wire to wire. Just based on, I had it up here, but it disappeared. The software we used was able to break down positions, where they were drafted, everything. What do you guys think of these two drafts between Josh and Rob? I don't know how much you guys remember about who they were picking and where, but what do you think about their drafts?
I was definitely going to mention Rob's. Rob's was a sneaky good one that I didn't see coming until I looked at things afterwards. And I was like, wow. Yeah. He, it's interesting. I feel like he's got some really good receivers with sometimes some bad quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
But really high potential if things work out with the quarterbacks on those teams. I'll say that.
Yeah. And just for you guys listening, just some of the refreshers of the players that really put it in the top for me. Some of his keepers, he's able to keep Damian Pierce in the 23rd round, yeah. Nick Chubb in the second. He's got Tony Pollard in the first. So he's got a pretty stable running back core. And if he stays healthy, Keenan Allen in round 3, Brandon Ayuk is a keeper in 11. And we all know George Kittle is not the healthiest of players. And if George Kittle doesn't play, there's really only a couple players to throw to outside of McCaffrey. Brandon Ayuk very well could have a huge year.
Yeah, he could. It's hard. They're a three-headed monster in San Francisco. It seems to be one out of every 3 weeks is their week kind of thing. Ayuk's week or McCaffrey's week or Debo Samuel's week. So it's a bit hard for fantasy.
Yeah. But I mean, he's also, I really like what Pat Freiermuth could do. He could be a sneaky pick in round 8 at tight end.
Yes.
I really expect him to do a lot better with year 2 with Kenny Pickett in Pittsburgh. Just and you look at the defense.
Really solid D.
I really like his defense. He did really. Yeah. I mean, come on, Cam Hayward in round 19.
Yeah,
Cam's getting old, long on the tooth, but Cam's still really solid. So I mean, and this was emailed to everyone. I mean, you guys can all go look at this. You can all make your own picks for best pick, best draft. But I really would have to put Rob up there.
Yeah,
and so you know. Him and Josh, solid picks for me. What do you guys think? Did you have any other nominations you wanted to throw out there?
I was just going to mention Rob's draft. That was the one that stuck out to me.
What about you, Danny? Your other draft's about to start.
Well, yeah. I don't know. I'm actually going to throw some hater rain on this right here. Because E-Town lost me with that DJ Moore pick. Nothing good in the air is happening in Chicago. Rashad Penny is in a platoon. AJ Dillon doesn't have a quarterback. Sky Moore may get the ball. Donta Foreman, who knows? So, like, I got question marks on E-Town's and everyone but Bijan, and that's only because everyone's rating him so high, right? I got question marks on everybody else.
But aren't you looking at his bench? I mean, he's got Tua, Justin Jefferson, Chris Olave, Jalen Waddell.
Well, I'm looking over here. I'm seeing what's at the top of this list here, because how these were entered.
Right. I'm looking at his roster on the site, and he's got a heck of a receiving core.
Yeah, there's a lot of question marks, at least in my mind.
I was just saying half of those people are on his bench right now that you mentioned.
I know. I wouldn't. So for me, the strength of a draft is being able to play more than just stars.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Right. So like, he's going to have to waiver wire most of those people if they don't play.
Yep.
It isn't like he has people who are sitting there in the wings, whereas at least on Rob's side, like, I'll give Rob a little bit more credit. Although he neglected wide receiver almost completely. He's banking on wide receivers from 5 or 6, 7 years ago and somebody who only had a good year last year because Deebo Samuel got hurt. So, and I don't even know who the hell Roshon Johnson is, but he has Nick Chubb and Tony Pollard, Trevor Lawrence. I mean, Rob will be competitive for sure, but I'm not overwhelmed. I'm not super impressed with either one. There's some things that I liked about, even though Matthias, you know, is a pain in the ass most of the time. He had people who he took that basically I was looking at. So here, real quick, boys, Jahmyr Gibbs or Alexander Mattison? 30 seconds.
Gibbs or Madison?
No, yeah, Gibbs.
Okay.
Is Gibbs. That our upside?
Now, this is a keeper league. Cam Akers, Godwin. Yeah, I'm going to go for the upside of next year.
There you go.
Jimmy Speaking Gibbs. Of Ty, it looks like he did make a move, and Cooper Kupp is out of his lineup now, and Nico Collins is in.
Yeah, going with the rookie. All right. Well, do you guys have any individual picks that really stood out that you would say that was the pick of the draft? That really is the one that sticks out to you?
Are we doing worst draft too?
Yeah, we will. I just wanted to get the good stuff out of the way. That way we can really focus on the bad stuff.
I like Calvin Ridley in the 24th round for Chuck.
That was on my board. Yeah, that's on my bingo card.
Yeah, that was some sneaky shit right there. I was watching. I was waiting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was pretty. I believe that was Chuck picking Calvin up last year. Post, I would have to go back and look. I didn't go back and look. I've been really busy today. But if memory serves, Chuck picked him up during the season last year, and so he's able to kind of just hang on to him.
Yeah.
I don't remember him being drafted last year, but I believe that's what happened. So nice foresight on Chuck's part. And I'll go out on a limb. I like his chances in Cleveland. So Elijah Moore in the 14th round to Rob. I really like that as a possible really good pick.
You could tell Rob was listening to talk radio on that one.
Anything else really stuck out to you before we move on to the worst draft?
No, I think nothing. There's Swifties. I'm going to give something up to Swifties here. I do think the DeAndre Hopkins to Tennessee thing is going to be better than most people think.
Yeah, someone competent, beyond AJ Brown for to catch the ball.
Yep.
Yeah. I think Nuke will be better than they're forecasting. I don't think he's going to be, the explosive force he has been in the past, but I do think he'll be better than his forecast.
You suck!
Well, let's move on to some worse draft. I'll go ahead and start. I got two that I'm nominating. First, I'm going to go. I don't think either one of these is a surprise. I'm going to go with, damn, he's still Ninja Panthers in here.
I was going to say the team currently named Ninja Panthers.
Currently named Ninja Panthers, but has said out loud, he's going back to Mr. Goodbar, 25% of his roster is composed of Philadelphia players.
You know, Ben did that 2 years ago.
25%. I did the math. 25% of his roster is Philadelphia players. Whoever plays him on their bye week doesn't have to start a roster. They can start a kicker and beat him that week.
I'm hoping that I have him.
Five of them are defensive players.
Half of his running backs are going to be splitting time in Philadelphia. So if he starts both of them, they're going to be fighting for the ball. And he'll basically be starting. It's like if you've got two quarterbacks, you've got none. If you've got two running backs on the field at the same time, you've got one running back. Isaiah Pacheco may not have all that much attention this year if Zeus is out. They can really, defenses could conceivably really pin their ears back and start rushing a lot. And Isaiah's not necessarily their best pass catching back.
Oh, and he took him in the third round.
And then you've got Deuce Vaughn, who I love watching the videos of him. It's hilarious when he's got the extra padding on the helmet because he looks like a 5-year-old runner on practice. But that's his entire running back core. And, you know, wide receivers are fine, but 25% Eagles players.
Yeah.
I'm also nominating Gridiron Mafia solely for the fact that he drafted four kickers.
He drafted
four kickers and he knew it.
Joe
four
is
in a row.
What the hell is he up to?
He had been drinking a bit that night.
He had been, but he was still conscious of it. He just kept drafting kickers.
Yeah, and then he really wanted to go out onto the out on the town afterwards.
He just wanted to be done. Oh, what do you guys think? Any other nominations for worst draft?
I mean, let's see.
That hits what I said. And I think worst draft pick, I'd say Pacheco in the third round to me. Maybe DJ Moore in the fourth, but yeah.
Yeah, DJ if he hits is going to be huge because DJ could be sneaky good, but DJ has been a disappointment everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't mind having DJ stacked because I've got his quarterback. I've got Justin Fields, but that's a lot of risk to put on his shoulders.
I just don't think Justin Fields is going to do much of shit.
He'll run a lot.
I don't even think it's going to be like that. I think Chicago is going to be piss poor. Like normal.
Yeah, they can have a poor defense. That just means a lot of coming from behind for me. Yeah, I think those are good nominations for bad, for worst pick. I'm going to stick with one of the three bonus kickers for Gridiron Mafia. Any other nominations there, Danny?
I mean, I would say they all suck, but, you know, that's just me.
All right. Well, let's make some preseason predictions. Okay. Since we're recording this Wednesday night, NFL season doesn't technically kick off for another like 18 hours. I don't know. It's 10 o'clock. I guess 22 hours. MVP for this season, what are you calling for? What do you expect to see MVP for the fantasy at the end of the season?
It's going to be somebody brand new.
You think? Yeah, I'm sticking with Trent Drew. I'm going Justin Jefferson.
Justin Jefferson?
Nope. He's going to. No. I think you're going to see Trevor Lawrence get in the top three. He's going to make the jump. Trevor Lawrence is going to make top. He's going to make top three in quarterback. You're going to see, in terms of wide receiver, I think it's going to be what's his nuts.
I love what's his nuts.
Yeah, I know you do. You love all those nuts.
Give me all the nuts.
I think Tariq is going to be the best wide receiver this year. Overall.
Tyreek Hill?
Yeah, Tariq.
You think Tyreek's going to be good enough to get the MVP?
I mean, he's going to have a ridiculous amount of catches and yards again. I don't think anybody else. I don't see anyone else. I don't see anyone else catching him. That's what I'm saying. Like, now this is also probably his last year for it. And then in terms on the running back side, I don't think Josh Jacobs is going to produce what he did last time, but I'm gonna say, and this is a homer type thing, but it's something that I believe is going to be true, that you are going to see Najee actually put up a good year.
I'd like to see Najee actually have a good year. I've been disappointed the last couple seasons.
I think he can get to 1,300 yards. If for me, it's 1,300 yards. That's my marker. If you can get to 1,300, then you had a great year. 1,310 touchdowns. That's what I want.
I'm going with popular opinion. I expect Justin Jefferson to probably produce the most points, and that's typically what we judge our MVP on at the end of the year, what most people vote for in the NFFL. How about Offensive Rookie of the Year?
I think Bijan's obviously the most popular one. I'm going to go Jahmyr Gibbs. I think there's all kinds of room for him to do great things in Detroit and a high-flying offense.
Mm-hmm. I actually had Gibbs.
There's a lot of good ones. I like Addison in Minnesota. I don't like any of the quarterbacks. Bryce Young, maybe.
I don't think any of the quarterbacks are going to do enough to warrant that discussion. Yeah. And I don't see any of the wide receivers, definitely none of the tight ends, doing anything. Yeah. Gibbs,
Johnson's interesting.
Yeah. But it really came down to Gibbs and Bijan for me, and there's just so much buildup for Bijan, and I think he's gonna be fine. But they're running such a vanilla offense in Atlanta.
They have to with Ritter at quarterback.
Yeah. Oh, Arthur Blank just wants to run the ball and run the ball and run the ball and run the ball and maybe punt it. What about you, Danny? Who's your offensive rookie of the year?
Tight end, Detroit, Porta.
Porta.
Porta John.
Well, hey, we're all Lions. Defensive rookie of the year.
Well, I had to look this up. I'm going to go Joey Porter Jr., Penn State grad. Let's go.
All right. Danny?
I'm also having to look this up simultaneously.
Well, I went Will Anderson Jr., defensive lineman in Houston. I believe in that one enough that I actually picked him up off waivers this afternoon. So we'll see how he does.
I like Jack Campbell a lot with Detroit. Another Detroit pick, but
Detroit's a fancy pick this year. Yeah. They're actually, I found out this afternoon, they are the fourth. After Dallas, Philadelphia, and San Francisco, they are the fourth pick. I think this is a Vegas line to contend for the NFC Championship, which shocked me that they were that high in the list. But
and they play in the opening game.
Yeah.
With no Chris Jones or Kelsey possibly on the Chiefs. Could make it interesting.
Yep. You got a defensive rookie of the year for us, Danny?
I just had a draft. Hang on. I'm cheating on you right now.
We are your only league.
What's his nuts? I just had it on my screen. Hang on.
No, no. What's his nuts was your MVP.
I think he's winning the offensive and defensive rookie of the year for Danny.
Yes. What's his nuts is everywhere. He's all over the field.
Yeah. Yes. Somewhere.
Oh, it's Travis Hunter from Colorado, right? Playing both sides.
Yo, he's a beast.
He is.
Yeah. I mean, I think Joey Porter Jr. is the one that, like, that's the most notable one. But there was one that I had that was kind of like a sleep, but I can't. I lost him.
Huh. Christian Gonzalez. Well, if you find him, we'll put him back in there.
Christian Gonzalez was the cornerback from Oregon, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's with the Patriots.
Yeah, I mean, if he plays, right?
All right, offensive player of the year. If I'm picking him for MVP, I got to go with Justin Jefferson, right?
I don't know. I guess you can have a different MVP from an offensive player of the year. I'm going McCaffrey for offensive player of the year.
You would.
Homer.
Yes, you would. I'm sticking with Trevor Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're just going to see some next level shit. All right. And all right. I mean, the jump he made from year one to two, really, I'm pretty sure year one was simply because he had a terrible coach. And they actually they brought in some folks and they got him a tight end, for goodness sakes.
Mm-hmm.
And Evan Engram.
You're all on that Trevor Lawrence bus this year.
Dude, I've been on it since he was in college, man. and it was one of those things where if Kenny had been a rookie this year, I'd have given it to him.
Yeah, a lot of hype for Pickett nationwide.
How about your defensive player of the year?
Oye Oluquan.
Dude, for your lampshade. Or for your Sade. However you say his name. No poopers coming with that dude right there.
No.
Actually, let's see. I had I was thinking what's his nuts? Hang on, I got him.
What's his nuts is just
Roquan Smith.
Roquan.
That's a good pick.
I could see that. Yeah, I wanted to. Foye was a strong contender for me, but I want to be a little contrarian. I went with TJ Watt. I mean, he's shown he can be a sack leader. He can pick the ball off. He can tackle as long as he doesn't rip a bicep. Yeah. He stays healthy all year. I don't see any reason he can't be it.
Yeah. His brother JJ on the radio today said he's the best defensive player in the world.
Yeah, I didn't hear that, but all right. Unfortunately, I didn't get to draft him this year. Had him on my team for like two or three years straight.
JJ Watt said he's going to Pittsburgh to watch a couple games this year.
Nice. All three Watt brothers on the sidelines at some point. All right, losers, biggest bust this year.
Kyler Murray.
Kyler Murray. Yeah, he's going to start the first half of the year on the pup list at best.
I know, he's a bust.
Can he be a bust that way?
Now for my benefit, I'm coming at this from where players were drafted as based on how I expect them to perform, not necessarily just, you know, I put a little criteria for myself. My two biggest busts that I'm expecting. Jonathan Taylor, he was a keeper, so his value was round one, pick two. He's not going to play for at least the first four games. He's not happy in Indianapolis. He requested a trade. He was granted to seek a trade. No one wanted him. He's not playing because he's not happy. He's got his quote-unquote undisclosed injury that's got him on the pup list. It would not surprise me to see him milk this out, and he technically doesn't even need to finish out this season to finish out his contract. There's something in there. I forget the exact wording, but there's something in his contract. He doesn't actually have to make it through this entire season to finish out his contract with the Colts. So it would not surprise me if he never steps foot on this field again as a Colt. My other option here, without having a player just be a holdout, is actually Stephon Diggs, round two, pick four. Because Stephon in the offseason has seemed to turn into a bit of a diva. And we all know what happens to diva receivers in the NFL. I see a drop off coming. That's just me. What about you guys? Who are your biggest busts?
Alvin Kamara.
Kamara.
He's just going to piss me off all year long.
He is a long way from his 5 touchdown Christmas Day performance.
Yeah, which I played him that day, and that sucked for me. I remember that bullshit. No, I mean, Kamara is one, and I think in terms of QB, what's his nuts from the Rams? Matt Stafford. I just think the Rams are going to be very disappointing.
I'm going Cooper Kupp.
Oh, yeah.
I'm saying hamstring specialist doesn't actually help him, and he lingers all year.
Did you hear that McVay actually used the term body specialist for who he's seeing? He didn't say ham or leg. He said he's seeing a body specialist.
Man, I would like to see a body specialist.
Okay, what are you placing the over under for games that Cooper actually sees the field this year?
6.
6.
I'm going under 6.
I'd say that's a healthy line. I'd say probably right at 6. Yeah. Which is sad. Yeah. All right, who's your sleeper pick for this year?
Quiddy Pay?
You got him, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
I just lost Quiddy Pay. I gotta pick DeForest Buckner now.
Quiddy Pay, all right. Danny, who's your sleeper pick?
George Pickens.
Oh yeah. I got a Steeler for mine. I got Jalen Warren.
For my actual pick, I'll go Jordan Addison as the number 2 of Minnesota.
All right. How about a breakout player? Who's going to break out this year?
Travis Etienne.
Yeah. Ooh, I would like that.
Yeah, that'd be good.
I just got a feeling. I got a feeling about them Jags, man.
Danny is all about the Jags this year.
Yep, all the Jags.
He is riding the Jags bus.
I know Tony Pollard kind of did last year, but I'm going to go Pollard that he takes another step forward. Mm-hmm.
You would like to see him step into elite status, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with Zay Flowers. Rookie Baltimore. Coming into Baltimore, and the only real competition he has for catches is
Odell Beckham Jr.
No, Odell's not going to challenge him for catches. It's Andrews. Odell Mark is a Andrews, shell of his former self at this point. It's Mark Andrews, and Mark's nursing some sort of injury right now. Now, Zay's got every opportunity to establish himself firmly as the number one in Baltimore. So I'm planting my flag, however you want to put it, right there. That sounds so dirty. All right. Well, those are our bold predictions. Some of them bolder than others. Some of them odder than others. What's his nuts all over this list?
Yeah. What's his nuts is about to get drafted right now. Elijah Mitchell. Boom.
What's his nuts is all over this list is officially the title of this episode. Let's look ahead at week 1 with the week 1 slate of games. We're going to start with, I had Scott break down the opening day percentage of wins for our lovely little league here, and just to see how teams had fared in opening day action. And so we're going to start with Awful Waffles taking on Mr. Goodbar / Ninja Panthers / I Heart the Eagles. Awful Waffles has a 73% win percentage in opening day matchups. Meanwhile,
Awful Waffles about to whip that ass.
I don't know about that. We'll see. Meanwhile, Mr. Goodbar. Mr. Goodbar Eagles has a 60% win percentage. Now, for Awful Waffles, we are in real time watching this roster fall apart because what was once an Awful Waffles strength were the wide receivers. And he has lost, he's lost potentially Travis Kelce to a hyperextended knee, and technically not a wide receiver, but we all know that he really is. Cooper Kupp is gone, at least for this game, if not the entire season. So really his strength is left at running back, and it's Christian McCaffrey and Saquon, which is not a bad anchor to have. And J.K. Dobbins is pretty solid as long as he's got two healthy legs, because apparently at some point last year he was bragging about having one healthy leg. So he's J.K. two legs. Meanwhile, for Mr. Goodbar, I listed his strength in my breakdown that 26% of his starting team is from Philadelphia, and he has the lowest projected points on the week. Those are my strengths for him. What do you guys think of this head-to-head matchup?
Well, I'll say, okay, so the last matchup between these two was back in 2013, week 10. Awful Waffles beat Mr. Goodbar 197 to 178. Pretty good matchup. They've only ever faced each other two times. Awful Waffles has won both those games.
Mm-hmm.
And the Mr. Goodbar is currently starting Jalen Carter with a zero projected. So we'll see if that stays or not.
Yes, he's a rookie for Philly, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, to be fair, Yahoo does not typically give brand-new rookie starters points until, like, the day of, if they do, for the first week. But still, he's one of the 26% starting Eagles. So.
Go ahead, Danny.
I was going to say, just group by group, edge on quarterback goes to Josh. Wide receiver core goes to Awful Waffles. Running backs go to Awful Waffles. Tight end, simply because Kelce probably won't pay. Play goes the Panthers. Kicker, toss up. Defense, it looks like, I would probably go with Waffles defense overall. So right. by groupings, I would call it for Awful.
Yeah. And I will mention, since I put this in there, I put the current projected end of season rankings according to Yahoo. And this takes into effect everyone's moves that they've made. They do have Awful Waffle finishing number 2, Mr. Goodbar finishing number 12.
I can't say I'm surprised, but all right. I'd say the wild card in all this, just for my entertainment purposes, is what Juju does in New England. They are putting all their money in on Mac Jones at quarterback, and Juju, I just saw a report for him on his health 2 days ago that basically his knee could explode at any time. It's not currently injured.
His knee is like a backpack at an airport. Like, you got to watch out.
Okay. Don't listen to this on a speaker in an airport. Good people. But yeah, so that's my wild card in all of this is Juju. Just for my entertainment purposes, I have not seen anything of his chemistry with his new quarterback. So I'm picking Awful Waffles to start at 1-0, but between Kelce and Cooper, it's probably going to be closer than we might think. But I'm still picking Awful to win. Sounds like you guys are the same way.
I am as well.
All right. Well, let's take on matchup number 2, Night Shift, who has a 53% win percentage on opening day, taking on Gridiron Mafia with a 63% winning percentage. I would have to look back through, but if I remember right, this is probably after Awful Waffles and Mr. Goodbar, the largest gap in total scores projected for this week.
Pete Werner. There you go.
Night Shift, looking at strengths, probably comes down to some of the wide receiving core between T. Higgins and Tyler Lockett. And no matter what Danny thinks, I like what Justin Fields can do between his legs. And I do expect to see him take
a little
swing.
You like what he can do
between his legs.
Well, I was finishing my thought and I started another one. So, yes, that's I did.
This is between not that kind of podcast. Using,
between, that's good podcast material. It's just not good if you cut it out. Between using his legs and taking a step forward in his passing this season. Gridiron Mafia at running back. Yeah, Ramondre Stevenson, solid. Anthony Madison, I'm expecting a solid year from him. No reason not to expect it this week. Miles Sanders, apparently that injury is, the groin injury is off of him this week, finally. And yeah, running back's probably going to be a strength for him this week, whereas it's a weakness for Night Shift. So what do you guys see with this matchup?
Well, first of all, stat-wise, current projections, Gridiron Mafia to finish 4th, Night Shift to finish 11th. Head-to-head all-time, Gridiron Mafia leads 10-6. Oh, I was going to say, in the last 10 matches, Joe's leading 6-4, so it's a little bit closer. Gridiron Mafia is currently on a 2-game win streak in this series. They last year, week 7, with Gridiron Mafia beating Night Shift 213-117.
It was not a good week for me last year. That was definitely a toilet bowl game of the week. It was a brown note week.
Dude, that was a Yannick Ngakoue week.
Also, Gridiron Mafia has 3 Memorial trophies, while Night Shift has 3 Pierce trophies.
Yeah. Again. Oh.
But Joe has no Phyllises. So there's
that's
that.
Right. I can always point to that. Joe has still not hoisted the Phyllis.
He is suck Phyllis it, Joe. Less.
He you is don't Phyllis. Know the beauty, the joy that is having the Phyllis in your house for a year.
Phyllis less.
So what do you guys see from this matchup?
I'm going to say edge on quarterback to Gridiron, Mahomes over Fields, Smith over Higgins. I'm going to say Lockett over Metcalf, Kirk over Brown, Connor over Stevenson, Madison over P. Ryan, Hawkinson over Johnson, Sanders over Charbonnet. Tucker always over anyone he plays.
It is hard to be Tucker.
I think Holcomb's going to have a busier day than Greenlaw. Al Shaer over Baker, Hunter over Curl, Chin over Bayard, Buckner over Quinnen, and then Luquan over the Queen.
That sounds like a lot of Gridiron Mafia.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm hearing from Danny. I don't expect either one of you to pick me.
Ed, what's your pick?
Karate points to Gridiron.
Oh, I'm picking Gridiron to win this one.
I think we're unanimous.
Yeah, we're unanimous on that one. I'm picking myself to go 0-1 to start this year again. Matchup number 3, Bear Bunda's Nightmare with a 56% opening day win percentage, taking on San Diego 8 with a 22% win percentage. Scotty, why don't you hit us with those stats?
Yeah.
Hey, so if we're already talking about Rob, I'm not going this game. Go back to last year's episode.
Has your number.
End quote. For some reason, ChatGPT got my number. So.
So both teams, according to Yahoo, are currently projected to be playoff teams, with Rob as the 5 seed, Bermuda as the 8 seed. They have played 15 times, with San Diego 8 leading 10-5. Rob is currently last 10. Rob's up 7-3. But Bermuda currently is on a 1-game win streak in this series, as they won in week 12 of last year, 174-164.
Yeah.
And of course, Bermuda's got a Phyllis. Rob does not. Bermuda's got a Memorial. Rob does not. Although Bermuda's got 2 pierces and Rob has none.
Now you have to remember, those are pre-punishment pierces.
Indeed. They are pre-punishment. Yes.
Grandfathered in, as it were.
Of note, I did a little research for you, Danny. Are you aware of Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs historically versus the Jets?
No, but I'm pretty sure it's probably not good if you're bringing it up.
It's not. Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs' worst games nearly every year, as long as they've been Bills, have been against the Jets.
That's because Sauce Gardner now, man. Oh, I'm telling you.
Strengths for me, for Bermuda, is on defense. I like Zaire, Okereke, and Fred Warner. I like their matchups. Okereke, yep. I'm going to pronounce the name differently every episode I talk about him, just for fun. I really like their matchups. I think they'll probably score enough to make up for those underperformances that I expect for Josh and Stephon. And for San Diego 8, running back Chubb, Pierce, Pollard, I expect no reason not to see them all have strong days at the office. What do you guys think of the matchup?
Oh, I'm not winning this game.
You're going up against Trevor Lawrence, man.
Hey, man, if you look at it, like 7 of my players or 8 of my players are under 10 points. You know, you got to have a better average than that.
Solid D, though.
Well, I mean, the D is what carries it, right? So
defense does win championships.
Yeah.
Who you picking?
Right now, I'm gonna pick CJ Stroud, just because in case anything actually happens with him, it's got him in a 24th round.
Nice. In this matchup, I'm gonna pick Bermuda. I'm gonna say George Pickens shows out against San Francisco.
Oh, Michael, you're just Pittman saying
show something with Anthony Richardson. I'm going for a little bit of a kind of upset.
All right,
I'll take it.
You'll take it, Danny. Are you picking yourself or no?
I'm picking Rob, but I'll take a win if I get one. my theory is I got to get through the first 4 games 2-2. Mm-hmm. And if I can do that, I make all the adjustments necessary to get to the playoffs. I just got to be 2-2 getting out of the gate.
All right. Matchup number 4. E-Town Asian, who has a 0% win percentage on opening day.
0-2
versus Sweatman's Runners, who has a 50% win percentage on opening day. 7-7. That's right. Scotty, what kind of statistics do you have for us for this one?
All right. First ever meeting between these two this is the first time I've rejoined the league since Josh has been in it. Currently, I am ranked at 3, Josh at 10. I am 96-100 through 14 seasons, so looking for that 100th win this year. Josh is 13-16 so far. Of course, I've got 1 Phyllis, 1 Memorial. Josh currently has no kicker in place, which is interesting.
Yes. Josh is going to go no kicker.
Joe took them all.
I'll throw this stat in there since I looked at it. Since I am taking over the reigning champs team, Head had me look at what percentage of wins did we have for a championship team in the first week of the very next year. Mm-hmm. So from what I've found, there were 2 two seasons that do not get included, because in 2007, Brandon Zangas won the league and he was not in the league in 08. So I couldn't figure that out. And then, of course, Connor won it last year and he's not in the league this year. So out of 19 seasons, 11 of the champions won in the first week for 58%. So I don't know if it says too much. I thought maybe there'd be a little bit of a hangover, but the interesting thing is there is a 6-game win streak currently going for the championship team winning their first game the next season. So hopefully,
Josh, that goes over to me. If you pick up a kicker, you could potentially shut down that win streak. I like E-Town's wide receiver core this week. Justin Jefferson, Chris Olave, Jalen Waddle, DJ Moore could be a big hit. Need I say more? Sweatman's runners, almost anyone who catches a pass. CeeDee Lamb, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Deontay Johnson, Austin Eckler. And with that turf toe injury to wide receiver number one, Jahan Dotson is a very sneaky, strong play there. What do you guys think?
Yeah, he was a touchdown machine last year before he got hurt.
Yep.
Yeah. And he's got Howell throwing the ball to him this year, so we'll see.
Damn Howell. Yeah,
what do you guys think about the murder
hornets? I think it's going to be a super close matchup once he gets that kicker in there. It's going to be a bit of a ridiculous wide receiver showdown, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
And who's C. Harris?
Chris Harris?
Yeah. Christian Harris. Christian. Is that a rookie?
A linebacker for Houston.
It's a rookie. He must know something.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And D. Lloyd. You know what? Did he just like pick rookies at the very end? Like, what's going on?
Devin Lloyd played last year, though.
It doesn't have any stats up.
I got it. He had 17 games, 59 solo, 56 assisted, 115 total tackles, 3 interceptions.
Those were 16th and 17th round picks there, Danny.
I'm just saying, I don't even know who that fool is. he's on a team that I'm apparently all fanboying over. So
I really like the Tua versus Jalen Hurts matchup, being the two surprise quarterbacks from last year.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's the Alabama Rama right there.
And then we got the more established running backs, Eckler and Etienne, versus the rookie running backs, Bijan and Jahmyr Gibbs.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. I like this matchup.
Does Tua make it out of this game without a concussion?
Man, I saw a meme where it said Tua is most certainly dying this year. And it was like the breakdown of his offensive line at practice. Mm. And the person came out and was like, yeah, he's most certainly going to die.
And does Jalen Hurts get to play the full game this year against New England?
Please.
Does he get to finish a full game?
Please, please. Oh, you mean if they blow him out?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably going to be 30-something to 10.
All right, who you guys got for this one?
I'm picking myself.
I am too.
Yeah, I mean, I think Scotty just had, like, if I were going consistency over upside, you know, you got like when they bring a rookie running back out like that, and like I haven't seen people get all crazy about somebody in a long time. And I'm just like, the dude's in Atlanta. What's he going to do?
It reminds me of the hype that Cadillac Williams had. And then he had like two good seasons and was out.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely correct. That's exactly who I had in my mind.
I remember the Cadillac. He Tampa was fun. Bay. All right, so we're all going Scotty. Let's move on to Jim Kelly Hates Cancer, who has a 62% win percentage on opening day, taking on Roster Guard 99 with a 29% win percentage on opening day. What kind of other fun numbers do you have for this matchup, Scotty?
Boy, and I'll tell you, with roster guards first game win percentage is only that high because of recently. At one point he was like 1-10 in first game of the years.
Wow.
Brought it on recently, but he's been pretty bad. But I love this matchup. You got the OGs here. Chuck and John going. They're close in preseason rank at 7-9. You know, they're both 21 seasons in. Chuck's got the all-time record at 173 and 131. So he'll pass 175 wins this year, most likely. Mm-hmm. All-time head-to-head, they are 15-15.
Ooh, well, love that.
Their last matchup was in the playoffs last year, where number 5 roster guard beat number 4 Jim Kelly Hates Cancer 174 to 152 in the first round. John is on a 1-game win streak in that series, and in their last 10, Chuck is up 6-4. And of course, you got 5 Phyllis trophies to 1, 3 memorials to 1, and John's got 2 Pierces.
This gentleman, this was a strong contender for game of the week, just so you know.
Yeah, I mean, this one got some fireworks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like Jim Kelly's wide receivers. You know, you got Devontae, you've got A.J. Brown, you've got some Calvin Ridley action there. And, you know, he's got that lovely running back in Indianapolis taking over for Taylor Swift. But, yeah, I'm just thinking back to the meme that was floating around for a while there that everyone wanted Taylor to sign with Miami so they'd have Taylor and Swift standing next to each other. Or was it Philly?
Either way. I just saw that Minshew Mania is the backup quarterback for
yes, Anthony he is. Richardson. He is. Did you see the quote that Bizzle shared a little while back that he had about Picasso? Yes, I did.
That was a good quote.
Yeah. But you know, on the other side of the field, you got a healthy Joe Burrow. You've got Garrett Wilson, who, if I don't know if any of you guys watch
Hard Knocks.
He's been looking at least, you know, what HBO does with their video. He's been looking like he's got a good connection going there with Aaron Rodgers. And he's got Danny's.
He's my breakout player of the year right there.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got Danny's dark horse pick for Najee playing his roster. So, I mean, you've got a very, very solid matchup here. What do you guys think?
And I like Rashad White, too. I think that's a good pick down there in Tampa. The roster guard.
I'm going to give the edge to Herbert simply because it's going to be a shootout in Miami. Mm-hmm. There's not going to be any defense played in Miami that day. I think Garrett Wilson is going to outperform Devontae Adams. I think A.J. Brown's going to beat London. Ridley over Sutton. Najee over Mixon. White over Walker. Taysom Hill with an asterisk over Andrews. He's going to throw a 10-yard pass and just have an extra 5 points. Gibson over D. Jackson. Myers over Jackson. Patterson, Bolton over Tranquil, White over Hicks, Walker White over Thompson, Petre over Hufanga. You want a Fanta. Crosby over Allen, Watt over Milano. So I think the edge is the roster for matchups. Mm.
I have to say, I don't think when I last looked at this roster that Taysom was in it when I last did my matchups. And I am a little bit shocked that Yahoo is still listing him as a tight end because his own team has listed him as a quarterback. So, Chuck, you might want to keep on that player between now and Sunday because Yahoo may change his designation by the time the game starts.
No, they're going to keep him as they don't have people playing dual spots in the beginning. It's usually about like week three or four where you'll get that designation switched. But yeah, I'm picking roster guard on this one.
I'm going Chuck on this one, Jim Kelly. Just based on the first game history, they've got a long history to look at. One does well, one doesn't in first games of the year. So I'm going Chuck.
Yeah, I got to give the edge to Chuck. It's a slight one, but I'm giving it to Chuck. All right. And our final game of the week is our game of the week. We've got Swifties, parentheses, Satan's Army. I'm guessing Ben's pretty up on current events, and it's based around Taylor Swift drawing an unintentional crowd around that wedding rehearsal dinner she was at. With his 56% opening day win, taking on Lance Manlove with his 44% opening day win. Scotty, hit us with the numbers.
All right, preseason Yahoo ranks. Lance Manlove currently number one, with the Swifties at number six, both playoff teams. Good history between these two. Started the same year. Lance Manlove has 8 wins more than the Swifties currently. But the head-to-head matchup is always a fun one. 19-8 in favor of Lance Manlove.
Yes. And
just has all kinds of trouble against his nemesis.
This is the Nellis Expansion League game.
Yes. Last matchup, Johnny Fuwakit beat Lance Manlove 197-191 in week 12 of last year. Quite a good matchup. Ben is now on a 2-game win streak, despite the overall non-success. And in the last 10, Ben is closing the gap, and it is Jason 6, Ben 4.
Ah, yes. I remember that. That was a good year for Ben last year. He swept him. Yeah. So for this matchup, I'm liking the wide receivers for the Swifties. Tyreek and Watson, they're both number ones on their squads. I expect good things from them. And we already talked about Nuke a little bit earlier. I think he'll do better than expected. Not the huge success he's had in years past, but I think he'll be better than people are making him out. And Mike Williams, even though he's the number two, he's still going to be a strong play. And like Danny said, this is probably going to be a shootout. For Lance Manlove, running back Josh Jacobs is back. And Derrick Henry leading the attack for him on the ground. Do you guys have any concern over Henry's age or whether or not Josh Jacobs will be in game shape since he sat out preseason?
Both valid concerns, yeah.
I mean, they're going to, it's 15 for 16, a touchdown apiece. So, I mean, it'll be average. I don't see anybody popping off in this game.
Boy, I like the Lance Manlove defense, though.
That's a pretty solid defense. Parsons, Wagner, Buda Baker, pretty much the only worthwhile defender in Arizona. CJ Mosley, Za'Darius Smith. I mean, that's a pretty solid defense he put together there.
Yeah, I'm not sure who drafted that. That must have been ChatGPT. drafting for Jason. But yeah, in terms of matchups, I got Jackson over Watson, Chase over Williams, Hill over Cooper, Hopkins over Judy, Jacobs over Jones, Henry over Hall, Goddard over Pitts, Thomas over Watson, Butker over Elliott, simply because I think they're going to score more points. Parsons over Campbell, Kendricks over Wagner, Werner over Anzalone. Buddha versus Minka, the battle of the first names. So it's whoever's going to get a pick. And I'm going to call Buddha actually getting the pick
against Washington. Yeah,
correct. And then I'll take Jordan over Smith and then Mosley over Wilson. So I think overall edge is, what did I say? That's pretty even. Flip a coin. I'm going to give it to Satan's Army.
Yeah, I'm going Swifties just because I feel like Deshaun Watson still is an unknown on what he can still do.
Yeah, and he's directly tied to Cooper. So I wasn't feeling good about that. Sometimes you live and die by that. Like I usually do that, you know, with the buffalo pairing.
Mm-hmm.
Feast or famine. But in Cleveland, it's like, why would you bet the farm on those two?
Yeah, I'm going with the Swifties as well. You know, there's just as strong as some of these guys are, you know, I got some questions about Jacobs and his game readiness. Derrick Henry, he's immortal, but he might not be. Jerry Jeudy, he might not be ready to come back from that hamstring injury. And like you guys, you know, Scott, I like your perspective on Watson there. And it just, there's a lot of question marks there. I don't think it's quite enough to keep him up with Satan's army there.
So, I mean, I think Green Bay is going to be a step above Chicago this year, guys. They're going to be bad.
All right. So there you have it, lads. I'd say ladies, but it's all lads that are listening. Let's be honest. There's like 12 people listening, unless Ben listens in a group. Before we go, I got a little game of keep, trade, cut for you two.
Oh, yes.
All right. Keep, trade, cut. One option this week. I'm going to give you Thursday night football, Sunday night football, and Monday night football. Keep one, trade one, cut one.
Keep Sunday night, trade Monday night, cut Thursday night. Sunday's the best now.
For me, I'm going to cut Sunday night.
Ooh.
Keep Monday night, trade Thursday.
Ah. You like that Monday night?
I do.
Mm-hmm. You don't like Chris Collinsworth and his slide into camera frame?
I hear there's going to be a third co-host for the Manning cast this year.
I saw the video of them trying to interview guys and gals. That was fun.
Hey, you like that.
We like that.
You like that.
All right, gentlemen. Well, thank you for helping kick off this first week in style. Remember, anyone listening, you can get your own NFFL swag on Redbubble. Same link as every year, bit.ly/NellisNFFL. Scott, I think I need to go on there tonight and get some Sweatman's Runner stuff up there. See if you want to get a Sweatman's Runner sticker or shirt or hat or something. And as always, Danny will do a little dance for you if you pay him.
Take Venmo.
Danny, available on cameo.com.
I take Venmo.
We'll see you guys on the gridiron. NFFL Podcast is a production of Head First Studios. Head First Studios, tell your story. He changed some of his stuff, I think. Yes, he did.
Clever girl.
No, he didn't. I'm just looking at the wrong ones. Remind these. You guys like what Deion Sanders did with Colorado?
Oh my gosh,
man, oh man. No defense. Go ahead, Deion. We coming is what he said.
Receipts.
He said, "I got receipts." He said, "I got
storyline."
I got receipts.